Today, I talk with one of the nicest people in the whole wide world, and she's seen quite a bit of it, too. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Starting in the airline industry in 1959, Maureen Harbauer has seen her fair share of changes. She didn't join Southwest until 2000 and has had a very interesting life and career in this industry, and I found her fascinating. About 1 minute into the interview, Maureen mentions the UNIVAC. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that word, it's become sort of a catch-all name for very early vacuum tube computers. And now, here's my phone interview with Maureen Harbauer.
Congratulations are in order. Today is your last day of working. You're retiring here.
Thank you. Yes, today is my last day.
And Maureen, you had kind of an interesting story about you've worked in the industry, the airline industry, longer than Southwest Airlines has even been a company. Can you tell us about some of the early days and
yes.
your experience?
When I came to this country, I really wanted to travel and see the world. My father was in the Merchant Marines, and he spoke about all of those faraway places that were like magnets attracting me. And I knew that circumstances, had I remained in Ireland, would never have permitted me traveling around the world, and thus I went to work for the airlines. You have to understand that it was very, very... There was no technology much at this time. The UNIVAC was just coming into existence. So that the position I held, you had to calculate everything with pencil and paper the long way. And even the mileage from one city to a destination or the car that they may be renting or what have you. And it really was a very interesting time.
You started as a reservations agent for Eastern Airlines?
Yes, I did.
In the 50s?
In the late 50s.
So I guess you would take a phone call and people would say they want to go from point A to point B, and you would have to write it down and somebody would have to keep track of how many people are coming. Be on that plane.
That's basically how it was. We didn't have the numbers. Somebody did keep track. But after you took the phone call, you just hung up, and you took their number to call them back with all of the information. Then you researched the information. How could they get from point A to point B? What was the least expensive way? How many miles would it be, et cetera, et cetera? And you calculated it and added to the taxes, et cetera. So it was a very interesting time. It was all-consuming. It certainly didn't allow your mind to get cobwebs in it, as sometimes I think today's high-tech does, and maybe that's because
probably
it's not high-tech. So it was a very interesting time. In fact, I recall having spoken with Eddie Rickenbacker on several occasions. I was working the night shift when I was in college, and that's usually when he called. And so it was very exciting, very exciting.
And I'm sorry, Eddie Rickenbacker,
he was the founder of Eastern Airlines.
Oh.
That was a wonderful company. My understanding also is that Herb Kelleher has a piece of...
I've heard of him.
Oh, you've heard of Herb Kelleher, I'm sure. My understanding is that he has a piece of Eastern memorabilia on his desk, and he looks at it each morning as his day begins to remind him that he grounds himself in the fact that this was once a great airline. And, I think that's very Eastern, very interesting.
Well, that's probably an interesting part of your perspective. You have the ability to have a perspective on the industry that, a lot of younger people don't have, especially if we've worked for a company like Southwest. We've been successful all these years, but, Eastern was successful for a lot of years, too.
Yes, it was.
And you were at the in LaGuardia?
I was at LaGuardia when they were going through reorganization, and as it came to the end, we had to work in every capacity, ticket counter, LaGuardia, ops, wherever you were needed. And I worked the last flight. It was a shuttle flight to Boston. I recall it distinctly. It was a very sad moment. And we sent out the last plane, and within half an hour, the whole gate area was transformed, all ready for another airline to take over. It was very sad with Eastern. The man who owned Eastern also owned Continental, and he took all of the assets out of Eastern and put it into Continental, and that was very sad. But in any event, I guess every airline has its day. I do believe the industry is very precarious. you know, so it's, but once an airline employee, always an airline employee. It's very hard to do something else other than retire. It gets into your blood, you know, and the travel. I do believe I have gypsy blood in me. And the travel, it always makes it very inviting.
Well, you know, you may be right. I've never tried to retire out of this industry, so that you may be there. Now, what brought you to Southwest?
Well, we had our last child was out of college, and we were tired of the rat race on Long Island, and we had moved to a little vacation home in the mountains. We were skiers, and I just felt like I was in a cocoon, and my husband missed sailing enormously. And so one day our daughter said, why don't you come to Maryland? She lives in Arnold. And my husband, and she said, you can bring your sailboat, Dad, and we have lots of room at our dock. Well, he didn't need to hear that twice. So we set out for Maryland and bought a little house, and we now sail. And it's been wonderful. And for the first couple of months here, you know, you read everything. When you move into a new community, you read everything that you can possibly find about the community. And so one of the things I had read was a little brochure, the periodical that had come in, and there was an interview done by, I'm not sure if it was the Baltimore Journal. They interviewed Matt Hafner, and his whole approach, his whole response seemed so down to earth. I thought, my God, this is sounds like a marvelous airline. It sounds like it's a community of a very down to earth, unassuming people. And I was so impressed with his interview that I thought, that's what I'm going to do. So I went online. I prepared my updated my resume, and applied online, and I was hired. And the rest is history.
And you were hired at that time. You were hired at BWI.
At that time, I was hired for a ticket for the ticket
customer service agent.
Customer service yeah. agent. Sorry.
And then you wound
and
up working in the marketing
that, yes, I worked as a customer service agent for a year, and then the position became available in admin, and I applied for that position, and I got it, and that was the time when all of the changes were really coming about. You had that 9/11, which was a very, very, very sad time for the airlines. I do remember walking up and down the halls where we all huddled together and sang patriotic songs, and then down the pier, the customers would join in. I mean, it was a very, very sad time.
I can imagine. You know, I live in Dallas, and you're in Baltimore, even closer to Washington and New York.
Yes, excuse me, but the point that I really want to make here is that Southwest Airlines never laid anybody off. Everybody came to work every day, despite, you know, the fact that they sent those planes out with one and two people. It became, I think...
Well, you're talking passengers?
Passengers, one and two passengers.
When we started flying again after September 11th?
Yes, we were grounded for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
The federal government grounded everybody for 2 days. And when we started flying again to cater to our customers, to the needs of our customers, Southwest Airlines has such a strong affinity, customer service, they're so customer service oriented and wanted to do the right thing for their customers, for their passengers, that they flew the planes with two and three passengers in those first couple of days. I was absolutely amazed, and so were their customers. So when we began to fly full-time and customers began to have confidence again that they were safe, all of our customers came back, because I remember having seen several of them subsequent to that. And they will never forget that either.
There was a lot of uncertainty right then, and keep maintaining our schedule not only helped our employees, but it helped the customers too.
It helped the customers. It truly helped the employees. Not one person was laid off, as I said, at that time. And then in 2004, we went through restructuring again, and I went to station sales for a brief period of time, and then I ended up in the marketing department, where I'm now finishing up my career with Southwest. In that capacity, as I mentioned in my notes, I was afforded an opportunity to really spread the Southwest message in so many wonderful ways that I absolutely never dreamed was possible in marketing. And again, it's the philosophy and culture of Southwest Airlines that makes it so special. you know, their down-to-earth approach is really a testament to management. And that's what I had seen in my former days before I put my resume on the computer. I was absolutely amazed. I was impressed, and they certainly it came to pass that it's a very down-to-earth, caring, with this marvelous spirit of really caring for internal customers as well as external customers.
Well, you wrote a very heartfelt email you sent out to a few people. I was lucky enough to have it forwarded to me. But you summed it up in a very nice way about what you've learned in your career. Could you share that with us?
You know, the down-to-earth approach, as I have just mentioned, is so prevalent in Southwest Airlines. And the culture and philosophy, you know, is a reflection of that great leadership. And if there's anything I have learned in my career, it is that the only thing that is constant, it is change, and it must be change. And we have to be ready to accept change at all times, because it is in change that we grow.
I have a lot of people fear change, but I have heard Herb speak about change and his analogies of, you know, if you look at the way we did things 10 years ago, they're different than they are today. So change is inevitable. Change is just part of
life.
If you don't change, you'll wither.
If you don't change, you're going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly with Southwest, there's been many changes, and I've certainly experienced many changes in those short 7 years that I've been with the company. But there is a part of Southwest in me that will never die.
I want to thank Maureen for taking the time on her last day of work to talk with me, and I hope she's having a great time in retirement on her boat and playing with her grandchildren. Now, don't forget the tagline catchphrase contest. Post your ideas in the comments section. Now, it's been brought to my attention that I said on previous episodes of Red Belly Radio that we will take a consensus and judge the entries. So, clearly what I meant to say here was that here is your chance to influence the judging with your consensus. How you like that? It's kind of like caucusing. It's not really voting, but sort of. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2008. Thank you for listening, and here's where the new tagline would go.